sixth chapter, the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 1. And please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, and you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. You'll notice that God does not want just to teach. He wants us to do them.
Amen.
And then he said that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Now folks, you come back tonight. I'm going to preach a message on the fear of God. The fear of God.
Amen.
And he says that we're to fear God. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Excuse me, I'm back up in verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments. If you fear God, you'll keep his word.
Right.
You understand? Fear God, keep his statutes, keep his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the blessed book, the Word of God. Thank you for the multitudes of instructions that you give us, Lord, for life. Thank you, Father, today for this great privilege. I don't want it to be wasted. I want to be a blessing to these people. And I want to do so, Father, and the only way I know how to do that is just simply give them things from your word, truths that need to be taught. And, Father, so I just ask you to help this preacher. Please, Father, help me. I need you. You know the needs of my life, and I need you, Father. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You notice in verse number 7, we read that the instruction was from the Lord to teach the Word of God to our children. We're to take God's Word, God's truths, and we're to pass them down to those that's coming up behind us. We're to pass them to our children, and our children is to pass them to their children, and on down the line. And again, I believe that's one of the things that we need to get back to. I'm not saying you don't do that, but we ought to be sure that we teach our children, pass down children to our children, the principles of God's word.
Right.
Now, when it comes to family, I've said this before, and I trust you'll just listen to me a moment. Each one of us was trained for 18, 20 years how to be a dad, how to be a mom, how to be a wife, how to be a husband. You say, when was it? That's when you was growing up. You was learning. You was being taught. I had a young man stand right in that little office over there. He was getting ready to get married. Nervous young man. I don't blame him. He was scared. And he said to me, he said, "No, you know, see, I've not had any training for this. How do I know how to be a husband?" I said, "You've had 18 years of it." And you say, "Brother Ross, is that right?" Yes, that's why God puts you in a family.
Amen.
And whether you understand it or not, you are being taught by your mother and father how to be a mother and father.
Right.
You're taught how to be a wife and how to be a husband. You say, "Well, my mother and father didn't teach me like really they should have, then quit passing the buck and learn and do it." You do it. You pass it down to your children, right? See, we've got to quit blaming other people. Heard that all my life. Heard that, you know, boy, if I'd done this, or somebody hadn't have done it, baloney. The ball's in your park, end of the park. You, it's time for us to take a hold. So I'm just simply saying to you, you've been trained. And if the training you got was maybe not everything it should have been, then straighten out the things that was wrong and correct them and do right. Amen. God's word tells us how to do that. See, we're each one of us, I don't care who we are, is going to choose the direction we go. You know, Joshua said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice. He made a decision. I believe every person, I believe every Christian ought to make that choice and say, we're just going to serve God. But you remember in that same book, Achan made another choice. The gold, the silver, and the Babylonian garment. You see, he chose the things of this world. The material things was more important to him, and he destroyed his family. You see, choose. Every single person, I don't care who you are, is going to choose what direction your family's going to go. It's up to you. You're going to make that choice. And I say to the men, especially men, you're going to make that choice. You're the head of the home. Now listen to me. Don't tell me, you say, well, I'm not the head of my home. That's to your shame. And it don't make any difference. God already holds you accountable to be, because he put you there. No matter whether you are or not, he holds you accountable to be the head of the home. Amen. So what he we're going to choose, and we ought to choose to serve God. We ought to just choose like Joshua to serve the Lord. So what I want to do is give you, like I say, some principles of what a home is. What is a home? What's the purpose of the home? First of all, it's the place of salvation. It's the place where you teach and train your children the ways of the Lord. It's the place where you have Jesus Christ constantly before them and the way of salvation before them. You remember when Jesus told the maniac that got saved out there out of the cemetery? You remember what he told him? He said, now, he wanted to go with Jesus. But he told him, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things God has done for you. Yes. He said, go home. I want to tell you, the home is a special place for salvation. It's the place where children ought to learn about Jesus Christ. It's the place where they ought to hear it from very early in life. They ought to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. When the lost sheep was found, the Bible says he went home and called his friends.
Right.
Home's the right place. After we got saved, went to Anaconda Aluminum Company. I was working there, and I tried my best to be a witness. And one of the ways we used that was I invited some of my coworkers home. And Donna would fix them a meal, and we would talk to them and witness to them about the Lord. Some of those folk got saved. They're at the plant. What I'm saying is, home is a precious, precious place. It's a good place for salvation. Each person ought to hear from their mom and dad about Jesus. That's proper. That's right. Now, it's not going to always happen, but that's the best place for them to hear. Not only that, it's a place of nourishment. Listen to me. Every person here, I am confident, lacks physical food. You wish I would get done so you could go home and eat. But you lack physical food. But let me tell you something. In the Bible, you'll notice that Jesus many times said and eat. The meal time is a special time. It's been taken away from most families. You ought not to let that happen. Mealtime with the children and the parents sitting around a table eating is very, very important. It's a special place. It's a place of remembrance. If I would ask my two sons that are here, and if David, if he was here, and Lori, if she was here, and I'd say, what meal do you remember most about coming home on Sunday? Roasting potatoes and carrots and onions.
Amen.
I've seen them so many times. They come in the door and, Mom, you put on a roast. Amen. It's memories. It's precious. And sit down and enjoy a meal together. And again, I'm saying to you, I know these are just simple things, but folks, listen, moms and dads, moms, your children need to remember good old home cooking. Not eat out. Now, I'm just telling you this. You better hear me. There's something about sitting around a table at home and a good meal provided, and you sit down and you eat and you talk. And you converse with one another. Now it's mainly you rush in, you rush out, and you go here and you go there and order a pizza. Nothing wrong with doing that once in a while, but that oughtn't to be all the time. You ought to sit down to a good meal. Listen, moms, listen. You ought to fix good, nourishing meals for your children. I know I'm meddling, but it's all right. I got a right to. I'm 70 years old. If I want to meddle, I'll meddle. You ought to fix good meals, good nourishing meals for your family. I know there's times you're not going to do that. You're going to throw some bologna out of the refrigerator and throw it on the table and eat a sandwich or something. I know. I understand all that. But that ought not to be what your meals are. Jesus sat down at the table and conversed with people and eat with them. And I think we've gotten away from that. Purpose of home. You ought to get back to not letting old Satan steal that meal time at home. See, it's a great time to talk about Jesus. When you go home today, it's a good time to talk about the sermon. Tell how you didn't like it. You know, it's a good thing to do. But it's a right, it's a proper thing, it's a good thing. Good time to talk about Jesus and how good he is. Amen. What I'm saying to you folks, we've got away from those things. I still remember, I'm serious, I still remember the meals that my mother used to cook. Of course, we never eat out. You never done that back then. Never. Never did eat out. Always, she always fixed something. Sat down and we'd have something to eat, and one of us was always spilling something. Eight of us children, she raised eight of us, and anyway, she'd throw something over the spill, and I always tell that story, throw it over the gravy, you know, got spilled, and throw something over it, and then when she got done, she'd take the tablecloth off and wash it. That's what Jesus done. He in all these offerings and beasts and all them lambs, and he just threw something over the sin, and then he came along and he washed it clean. Washed it all clean. Amen. But I'm saying to you, meals was important. My mama knew how to cook. My wife knew how to cook. Just knew how to cook. Just did it. I'm saying to you, we need to get back to good old-fashioned nourishing meals and sitting down at home and enjoying them. Moms, please think about what I'm saying. Amen. And then the home also is a place of training. I want to say something to you. If you don't train them, someone's going to. Someone's going to train them. You see, I want to ask you a question. Brother Gordon, if you knew that Chad, one of these days, we trust that he won't, would be out in a boat. He would be out in a boat and he would fall into that water. You knew that was going to happen down the road. What would you teach him to do? Swim. Now listen, our children have to go out into this old world. And it's not fun out there. And you've got to teach them how to handle it. You've got to teach them about the sin that's going to face them. You've got to teach them how to live for God when it's not popular to do so. You understand what I'm saying? See, they need to be trained, you see. Home is where you learn the skills of life. Home is where you learn how to work. Children ought to be taught how to work. I mean, they ought to be taught how to work. Folks, listen, today, I understand. You see, I got a Band-Aid on there. Yeah, there's a big old blister there. You know what that's from? Work. It's from work. I was out in my garden hoeing, and I was silly. I got that old hoe wrong place, and I ripped the blister right open there, but it's from work. You see, we got to teach our children how to work. And if they don't learn it at home, where are they going to learn it at? Let me just tell you some basics. This is simple things. I believe you ought to teach your children when to go to bed. They ought to have a bedtime. Regular bedtime. No, a regular bedtime. Early enough where they'll want to get up. I believe they ought to have a getting up time. I want to tell you, you grew up in my house. You was up and at 'em. I don't mean that my mom and dad didn't allow us to sleep in once in a while, but that ought not to be habit. They ought to just basic training. They ought to go to bed early. They ought to get up early and just get with it.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I know. That's not popular. I understand. You ought to teach them in the home cleanliness. It's in the home where they ought to learn how to take a bath and keep themselves clean. You say, Brother Ross, is this preaching? Yeah, it's preaching. Teach them how to be clean. Teach them how to brush their teeth. If they don't learn those things at home, where are they going to learn them? Some of these young people, I just like to ask them, how many times they brush your teeth a day? How many times you wash your hands? Where are you going to learn that at, Brother Ross? You're going to learn that at home. That's why God gave a home. They're to be taught these basic things. They ought to learn how to be neat in their home. They ought to learn how to keep their house nice and neat. Listen to me. I'm going to duck. But mamas, you ought to teach your daughters how to cook. They ought not to leave that home till they was a good cook. They knew how to cook just basic meals.
Amen.
Shame on you, young ladies, if you don't know how to cook. You're gonna present yourself to some unsuspecting guy one of these days, and he's gonna be so sorry. When the only thing you know to do is push the button on a microwave. You ought to know how to cook. See, that's what homes are for. You teach your children how to do that. You teach your children how to keep house. You see, I told you, I'm 70, and I don't know if I'll live another day, so I can just say anything I want to say. See, shame on you if you keep a dirty house. No, shame on you. That's a shame. You need to teach your daughters to live in a good, clean house. I'm not talking about perfect perfection. I'm not talking about a palace. I'm just saying it ought to be clean.
Amen.
Them's basic things that you ought to teach those children of yours. They ought to be clean. They ought to keep a clean house. They ought to wash dishes. You go in a house and dishes stacked all over the sink. Shame, shame, shame on you.
Right.
And shame on you young ladies for letting that happen. You get up and get busy. As soon as the meal's over, gather the dishes together and get to washing. Shame on you if you don't. Say, Brother Ross, is this preaching? Yeah, that's good preaching. You need to learn. And the place you're going to learn is at home. You understand what I'm saying? And mamas, if you're not teaching your children, you're not doing it yourself, shame on you. You need to get busy. You need to teach your children. You need to do it yourself. You ought to make the bed. Every child ought to make his own bed.
Amen.
Shame on him if he don't.
Amen.
My wife, she gets up anymore. Me and her make it together. She's got some health problems, and we make it together every day. Didn't used to do that. She always made it, but we do it every day. We get up. She won't walk out of that house without that bed made neatly, nicely. I say, honey, ain't nobody going to see it. Don't make any difference, she says. We'll see it. She wants it to be neat and nice. Now, what's wrong with that? Don't let your children get up and just throw things around and have a messed up bed. Make them clean their room nice and clean and neat. These are just, they've got to be trained. And if you don't train them, they're going to grow up and they're going to do the same thing in their home. And let me say something. It be all right? Yeah. It's a reflection upon the mother who raised them if they don't. Oh, yes, it is. You say, well, my mother kept a good house. Well, then no one will ever know it. You go into the Bible, and you'll always see. You see some of the worst men in the Bible, and it mentions their daddy and sometimes their mother.
Yep,
that's the son of.
Yep, you're right.
And when you keep a dirty home, that's the daughter of. Amen. They ought to be taught at home to do these things. They also ought to be taught the right use of money. They ought to learn the only way you get money is earn it.
Yes, sir.
You just earn it. Once in a while, somebody may give you a gift, but folks, listen, the way to get money is to earn it.
Yes, sir.
I can name that little boy years ago. He came in one day and he handed out his hand. He said, "Give me some money, Pastor." I said, "Go out and get you a job." He took off. You know, the way to get money is earn it. Amen, men? That's what you do. You work for it. Not only that, they need to be taught how to spend it. What's the matter with some of these people who just spend, and then they ain't got anything, and they owe everybody? Shame on you. Learn how to spend money rightly. Spend it for right things. And the best place to learn that is at home. Need to learn how to save. You see, money, just because there's some money in the bank doesn't mean it needs to be spent. You save. You save money. Save up for things that you need, you see. And you learn how to give at home. Every child ought to learn that there's a tithe and offering to be given. Every child ought to learn that. As a little child, they ought to learn that. You see, how to give. And another thing you ought to learn, teach them, is not to have credit cards. I know. You say, "Brother Ross, you got one?" Yeah, I do. My boys made me get one when I was traveling. They said, "Dad, you get out there on the road, you'll be in a mess." So here's what I did. I got one. But listen to me. I have never paid one penny of interest. Never. Never. And I won't. Won't. Only keep that there as an emergency. They said I should have that. So I did what they said. But the only card my daddy gave me was a work permit. As soon as I got old enough, just toddled around. He gave me a work permit. And I've been working ever since. Amen. That's what some of these boys need. They need a work permit. Yeah, amen. Anyway, just let me tell you something. You need to shape your children's lives. I saw a documentary on TV one day. It was on, I think, Discovery Channel. And it showed this man. He had a little farm out there, and he had trees. And he had shaped these trees in all different ways. He had an S tree. He'd shaped them. And he had one that was like a diamond. He'd come up here. Two limbs went out, and then it went for a while and grew, and then he brought them in like this, and it was like a diamond. And what he done, that took a lot of time to shape that. But that's what God says to do with your children. You see, they're like arrows, and you have to shape an arrow so it'll fly straight. Children have to be trained, folks. They have to be. They had to be trained by moms and dads. You see. And then also, it's a place of healing. The Bible says in Matthew 8:6, home is a place of healing. It says, the man came to Jesus and said, "My servant lieth at home sick." Where was he at? He was home. I think we're missing the boat. We're missing the healing that should go on in the home. I think we've turned too much way over to doctors and nurses and drugs. I think we've turned way too much over.
Amen.
Now, our dear daughter-in-law, Cheryl, just went to the hospital and got operated on. It wouldn't have been a good idea that Jerry do that. It wouldn't have been. But where is she now? She's home being taken care of by her family. It's the way it ought to be. There's something special. I'm just going to tell you, there's something special about the comfort of a loving mother. I can't explain it. It's something special God put in them. I can't explain it. But there's something special about a mother's hand on a fevered brow. There's something special about taking a cold cloth and putting it on a child's head in the hand of a mother. I still remember, I'm 70 years old, and I still remember laying on my mother's lap, and I had a lot of ear trouble when I was a boy, laying on my mother's lap and laying like this, and she'd put sweet oil in it, and it would help it. I don't really know if it was the sweet oil that helped or the one that held the hand or the cloth that put it in there. I'm not real sure whether maybe it was just the laying on her lap and the kind words and the bit of sweet oil that went into my ear that I remember. Mamas, I'm telling you, you're missing something. You need, when your children are sick, they need to be helped. And I know you can't do it all. I know that sometimes they have to go to doctors. I understand those things. But many times we want to rush them to a doctor when just the special care of a mother would get them well. I still remember when I was a young boy, we went barefooted a lot of the time when we was young. But I still remember I got a thorn in my foot. And I remember my daddy coming in. He was the doctor of the family. When anything serious happened, dad took care of it. I'm just going to tell you this. I, as a young man, had never been to a doctor in my whole life. I'd never been to a doctor. But he came in and he looked at it and he said, "Well, Bobby," he said, "that thorn's underneath the skin." And he went in and got a piece of bacon fat, put it on it, wrapped it with cloth. Now he said, "Son, you're going to bed now." And he said, "In the morning, I'll come in early because I got to leave for work." He said, "I'll come in and check it." Sure enough, he did. About 4 o'clock next morning, he woke me up, said, "Let's look at that." And sure enough, that bacon fat had pulled that thorn up to where he could just get it with a pair of tweezers. It drew it out of the skin. And he took tweezers and pulled it out, yanked it. It hurt. But he pulled it out, put some mercurochrome or iodine, one or the other. That's all you used back then. One or the other. I don't remember what it was, but he put some on there. It's red stuff. And put that on there, and he said, "Son, we'll check it tonight. Stay off of it today." He said, "You'll be all right," and slapped me on the leg. You know, that's the way daddies do, you know. Mamas go, "Oh, you poor little thing." Daddies go, "You'll be all right, son. Just come on." But I still remember. I still remember. And you say, "Well, what was it?" Well, I want to tell you something. There's just something special about a mama and comforting words and a hand, loving hand, that says, son or daughter, "I'm here. I'll help you." I can't explain it, but we need to learn that in the home is the greatest place to be a nurse. You need to nurse them back to health with a broken arm or a broken spirit. And sometimes they have a broken spirit and they need you. Things hasn't went well with them. And they just need some parents to say, "I love you." It's a place of discipline. The Bible teaches us that we should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And nurture means discipline. And admonition means teaching. Listen to me. And I'm especially talking about church people. It would be ashamed. It would be ashamed if a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher had to correct your children day after day after day and try to teach them here at church. Now, are they going to do things? I want to know, has anybody in here had any perfect children and they never did anything wrong? If you have, would you raise your hand? But listen to me. That ought not to be consistent. If your child is giving a Sunday school teacher problems, or a school teacher problems, you ought to get a hold of that. That's for you to get a hold of, not the teacher. They're not there to train them how to be good. I never held any classes when my kids was growing up on how to be bad. I didn't have to. They knew how. But we held quite a few sessions on how to be good. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, where are they going to learn that? They're going to learn it at home, and that's where they should learn it. Discipline. Discipline. They should learn discipline at home. Not here. See, you don't use clubs in your discipline. You use something special. In fact, Michael told me the other day, he said, "Yeah, Papa," he said, "I've already cut out a paddle for Gavin." That little fella. And I said, "Did you?" He said, "Yeah, I took a 2x." I said, "A 2x? You're going to kill him." He said, "No, it was a 1x. He said, "I guess they was goofing around one day and he cut a little paddle out, you know, getting it ready for Gavin when he gets old enough to use it. Probably another month or two he'll be using it." But what I'm saying is they ought to be trained and ought to be disciplined. And you got to remember their age. A 2-year-old is not a 5-year-old. A 5-year-old is not a 10-year-old. You've got to understand their age and treat them accordingly and train them accordingly. And then also, the home is a place of comfort and encouragement. The Bible says that it was the disciples after the resurrection. He says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." I believe something. The home is just a very special place. And it ought to be a place of encouragement. Children ought to be able to come home and find encouragement in the home. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times in life I've said, "It's just good to be home." I believe that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be a right and good thing to just be home. I remember Donna and I went down to preach. She didn't preach. She was with me, though. She went down to Evansville. And we stopped at a McDonald's. We was about a half hour early before we would get to church, and it was about a mile from there. And so we stopped at McDonald's and got us something to drink, and I think got us a little sandwich or something. And there was a family sitting over here, a mother, and the little boy spilled something. She cursed him out. No, she cursed him out, hollered at him, screamed at him, cursed him. That little boy just shrunk up like, just horrible. All the boy did was spill something. He needed some encouragement. Maybe he needed some correction, but it would be a right and proper thing. But she cursed him. I went over afterwards, after they got it straightened out, and gave them each a tract. Gave Grandma and Grandpa was there too, and I gave them a tract. They took it. But I thought, that little boy lives a life, a hellish life. He don't have anybody that really loves him, really cares about him. And I'm saying to you that when children come home, you know what they need? They just sometimes need encouragement. And a home is where that ought to come from. It also is a place of protection. I'm almost done, but the home is a place of protection. They ought to come home and feel protected at home. That's why moms and dads should put up fences. Certain things the children can't do, because mom and dad says they can't. It's like that little dog, that little poodle dog was behind that big old high fence, and there's a big old pit bull on the other side of it, and that old poodle dog was just barking and yelping and yelping and yelping and yelping, wanting to get out of that fence. If he'd ever got out of there, he'd have been one bite. Now listen to me. Kids, children, do a lot of yelping. They want to get out of those fences that you've put up for them. Don't let them. Amen. Satan will get them. Amen. Fences are right, young people. It's all right for your mom and daddy to put up a fence and tell you you can only go this far and you can do this and do that and that's it. It's right. It's what their job is. They're supposed to put up fences. Moms and dads, don't ever get discouraged about putting up fences. That's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen. Because you let them out, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to be one bite for this old world. And that home, it ought to be a place of protection. You know Joseph? Joseph was all right until he left home. He was doing fine. You go back. He was doing fine. He's with his daddy and all that until he left home to go hunt for his brothers, and that's where he got in trouble. His brothers turned on him. And from then on, his life was a mess for a while. What I'm saying is, home is a place where we protect them. And they need to be protected. And families need to protect their children. So don't be afraid to put up the fences that are there. And then I say to you in Titus, and I'm not going to go there and read it, but in Titus, the second chapter, if you'd read the first 8 verses, home is the best place to teach these things. You see, do you know what a church has your children and you about 6 hours a week? And there's 168 hours in the week. The church has them about 6 hours if you're faithful on Wednesday and Sunday and Sunday night. Church can't do all the training. They can't do that. Our pastor brings to us the precious book, the Bible, and we're to take it home and apply it. Put it into practice in our homes. I'm saying to you folks, the home is where we've got to get things right. And in America, if we just get back to just having old simplicity of life, simple home life, I want to tell you it'd help those that's coming up behind us. Now, let me say something to you. If you're not here, the first thing you need to do is get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the Savior. He's the only way of heaven. There is none other. See, there's none other. Jesus is the way of salvation. I want to say to you, if you're not saved, please, at this invitation, walk down this aisle and get saved. If you're a parent that's not been doing the work that we talked about here today, you've not been training your child like you should, there's some areas you need to work on, get down here and talk to God about it. Just get on down here and talk to God about it.